Welcome back to the Reptiles With podcast. Today we're hanging out at the Tampa Repticon. Yeah. We're here chilling, dude. This episode was brought to you by Repticon Reptile Shows, Premium Crickets, and Reptiles Express. Let's get started.
Let's do it.
We're with Tino.
Yeah.
So we've been here for a couple hours. Mm-hmm. We walked the show a little bit. We're just getting some steam. Mm-hmm. Anything cool?
Dude, let's see. Aquatics has actually had a torch monitor. Yeah. Fire. Pretty cool. And then I saw some, because I'm a nerd, Cinchloides niger marginatus, also known as Central American bark scorpions.
Okay.
Super cool.
You could have told me that in English.
Yeah, I could have. they're super cool. I really like them. I don't know if I'll get them. And I also saw Israeli gold scorpions, so those are really cool.
Yeah. I like the Thomasi.
The Euromastix Thomasi? Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. So cool. Few people are working with Euromastix and it needs to change.
Yeah. There was... when we were walking around, the thing that you actually called me over, it's funny, it wasn't even a reptile.
No, yeah, it was a bin.
Yeah, it was
a tub.
There was literally, if you go to Home Depot, you're going to find these yellow top bins. That's what I always call them. I don't know what they're I think it's like HDX bins. Yeah. Whatever it is. But they rig them, the company that's here. I didn't
Valhalla.
Catch. Valhalla?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, and they put... kind of like, you know how the glass, the sliding glass doors for a PVC enclosure. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty much that. And they were saying that apparently they're retrofitted to fit different size tubs. So as your animal grows.
And they'll sell you the parts. They don't sell you the bin. You buy the bin yourself so that you can move the parts throughout your bins.
I'm
like, whoa, that's pretty cool.
That's the middle ground.
It is. It's like, oh my gosh, I want something that opens from the top and something that's cheap.
Yeah.
So it works.
But you can't offer lights in that.
That is true. I guess unless, you keep your crested in there.
No, unless you cut a hole in the top.
You're right, but then, I don't know, the appeal of it being PVC and bins is you can stack them. You can put them on top of each other.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can do that.
Retrofit the lights internally.
Retrofit the lights. No, I mean, if you instead of stacking them on top of each other, maybe stack them through a baker's rack kind of thing.
Okay.
So you can do that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's still cost efficient.
It's still cost efficient. It's definitely going to save you a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know how much the parts are. It's like, oh, yeah, the port's going to be $400. I'm like, oh, okay. No.
Yeah, dude. So, I mean, do you think you'll leave here with anything?
I don't know. It would be a bad decision to do so.
Yeah.
I'm kind of in a weird point where I'm like, I don't know what
you
direction
want.
I'm really going to go in right now.
Okay.
I mean, I still have a lot of grow out, so it's kind of I'm just waiting until they grow up.
But
we'll see what happens.
When it comes to you and direction, you've said that you don't want to be, business breeder. Mm-hmm. So then what other direction is there than just to be, a hobbyist getting the stuff that you like?
Niche? Working with niche stuff. Walking around, I was like, man, I really want to fund someone's diamond carpet projects. But I don't want to keep them myself because I'm not that passionate about them.
Yeah.
I think they're awesome, beautiful animals, fantastic pets. But I'm I don't want to take up space in my house for diamond carpets.
Why
can't I just buy them for some people and they breed them?
Yeah.
So it's difficult. It's difficult. But then I'm like, you should just do it. And I'm like, no.
Yeah. No, I mean, you could fund them for me.
You're right. Bet.
You got $2,500? Yeah. So there are specific... I mean... Things are tough financially right
things
now.
Things are tough.
Yeah. But that's just the state of the economy.
Yeah.
But there are some things that I'm specifically looking for. Mm. With ball pythons, I think I'm going to buy a couple female clown pies.
From here? Or in general?
In general.
Okay.
So if they were here, I'd consider it.
Sweet, okay.
Obviously, I am looking for diamond carpets.
Yeah.
But I need to sell some of these brittles before I do that.
You know, because I was walking around too. It doesn't make sense. This is why I thought about the diamond carpets. So I was like, I'm walking around the show. There's a lot of ball pythons, obviously, of course. But there's also a lot of the same animals. Everyone has, it's because they sell. Corn snakes, king snakes, bearded dragons, that kind of stuff. But when you do that, you're putting yourself in direct competition with everybody else that's also selling it.
Yeah.
Crested geckos, gargoyle geckos. I'm like, if you guys branch out, do something a little different. Not saying that you'll succeed a little bit better, but if you know how to market yourself, I don't know, Philip Leitz came here and was like, hey, I'm going to do Euromastix table.
Yeah.
And everyone knows who Philip Leitz is, but to the modern person, be like, hey, these are better than bearded dragons. They're vegetarian. You don't have to buy crickets ever. He would bank.
Yeah.
He would bank.
That's one of the reasons why I hesitate to bring so many ball pythons.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, I mean, I don't know. I need more ball python friends. I need more... I need to see what, like, I need advice to see what it is I should be bringing to these shows. Like, mm-hmm. if I should just stay. I usually bring pet grade stuff. Yeah. Should I bring pet grade stuff? Should I bring my high end stuff?
Yeah.
Hopefully today I can sit down with Steve from Steve's Morphson, and he could give me a pick me up.
I'm not gonna lie, like. The logo is turtles.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But it has two snakes.
No, yeah. You should breed more turtles.
So the thing with breeding turtles is...
It's work. It's space.
No, it is the space. It is the honestly, it is the space. Because I like to keep them outside.
Yeah.
I like to keep them, you know, I dig the ponds in the ground.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. I gotta see what my direction. Because I don't want to... I want to be able to keep stuff that can get cold and that can get extremely hot. You know, and extremely hot, easy for turtles.
Yeah.
Getting stuff that can handle the cold here, even though it's not very cold.
North American species.
But that's the thing. Then what am I doing? Sliders, painted turtles.
Painted turtles.
No, dude.
Painted turtles are the best,
I like
dude.
Fucking little turtles, dude. I guess.
But, southern painteds are small. They stay small. I'll buy you some southern painteds.
No, bro.
Same thing with Eric.
Then I'm going to have to fucking dig them into the ground.
It's the same thing with Eric. Eric has, like, he does, like, the mud musks.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, get more of the mud musks. Like, get the white cheeks, the red cheeks. Get the different
so
kinds.
So that's a direction that I'm thinking.
Yeah,
I'm
okay.
thinking about getting the red cheeks.
Oh, yeah.
And they're from my home country of Nicaragua.
Yeah, so. There you go. And then just make up a name for them. Be like, hey, these are the crimson muds. Then people are going to be like, whoa, the crimson kin muds.
We figured it out. Yep. Yeah. Listen, bro. So you bring your blue tongue here, all right?
Bring my skank here.
Yeah, you got your kinky skinky. We got to talk about these outdoor enclosures.
Yeah,
I built mine based on, you know, Mr. Ron St. Pierre and Heather, and then you fucking shit on me and make 48 of them or some shit.
Yeah, I was like, originally I was like, because I have a lot of skinks, man.
Yeah, I have.
I can't just build one or two or four. Like, I have to build a lot.
Yeah.
So I was originally going to do just 12 cages. So I was going to do three sets of 12, you know, foot long cages and just divide them into 3 foot wide. And they're 6 feet long. But as I was doing, I was like, fuck it. Let me just do another one.
Jesus Christ.
Dude, it's so much work. So,
it is.
So they're all about 6 feet long, 3 feet wide, and about 2 feet high.
Yep.
So they're big. The bottom is green, dude. The bottom, we raised it off the ground a bit, and it's all like rock on the bottom, so it drains very well.
Yeah.
I had to do like 4 truckloads of rock. Dude, it's been so much work, man. And I have a platform for them to bask on too. I just finished the lids. So all that's really left is to finish the rest of the platforms because, you know, I like something elevated with wood or something so they can bask better.
Yeah.
And then also it gives them cover underneath if it rains or anything like that. I already put in the mulch. It took me like 50 bags of mulch.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're big, man. They're big enclosures.
How many are you going to put out there?
You know, I'm not exactly sure yet. I was like, let me just do pairs, but... I have too many animals.
Is your plan to move them all out of the racks? Or are you gonna
eventually,
keep...
yeah.
Okay, but eventually. You're going to keep some stuff inside, like maybe like the higher end shit that you're going to keep?
No. I'm throwing that nice
Jesus
stuff out.
Christ,
I'm throwing
dude.
All of it out there, man. I'm going hard. I'm already like picking the groups and stuff. And the reason why they're not going to go out there right away is because there's not enough cages. I need to make more.
Oh, okay.
I just have too many animals.
Jesus, man.
Yeah. That's too many, man.
Yeah. I haven't said it. I didn't say it publicly, but I guess now I will for the few people that listen to this. But it's like, I didn't do pairs. I did groups.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100% I did groups. Specifically because my ratios are off. You know, I don't have a lot of pairs. I have a lot of females.
Right.
You know, so I was like, you know what? Like, I'm going to give this a try. I'm going to see how they do. I know that I think Ron had them only in pairs and stuff for the most part. But then... Now that I've been watching them, like, I'm not noticing any, like, aggression.
That's what I was going to ask
like that.
You.
Yeah. Okay. I really haven't seen anything crazy. They really do, I don't know if I've posted it yet, but I have a video of when I was feeding them, like, two skinks eating from the same bowl.
That's awesome.
You know?
So, that's how I keep my Marukis outside in our old tegu cages.
Yeah.
You know, we can't keep them anymore.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, right. So we had to convert it to something else. And I've had up to 4 Marukis together and they eat together. They hang out. Like, only one time has one give me an issue, but you know, if you see one getting bullied, I just take it out.
Yeah.
So that's one thing I wanted to ask you, how they're behaving.
Yeah.
Because that's
I don't
what worries
know.
Me.
I don't know if they're behaving like this because it's not that hot right now. Mind you, it's still getting hot, but still, I mean, they're getting along. We had a night, I didn't even realize that it got in, like, the low 50s, like 51. Wow. I didn't notice it until the next day, and they were all just basking.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, it was fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's why I want to. That's why I've been in a rush to get them out now, because same thing with the Crested, same thing with all this stuff we pair up for the most part that live together. We pair them up in the cooler months because we notice much better success. They don't fight as much, you know. So it's like, you know, with blue, especially Northerns, like they have a, you know, they can be nasty with each other. So I want to get them out now.
Yeah.
My plan is to finish it this week. It's just hard because, like, I only have like 2 hours at the end of the day to really like work on it, and even then it's a struggle because the light goes away by 5 p.m.
I can't
really do much, and we ship around that time too, so it's been a struggle. Yeah. But, you know, it's almost done. We're going to make a video out of it. You know, we're going to show off for groups. I'm going to make some nice pairings, man.
Yeah.
I already know, like, a lot of them, and there's going to be some cool groups, including with the hypo, albino, whatever it is, Maruki.
Okay. So, you're going to hybridize it with a Northern?
Absolutely. I'm going to throw one in there. I don't know if it's going to hybridize well because they do breed earlier in the year.
Yeah.
You know, or later in the year, technically. Like, they start breeding around now.
Uh-huh.
But we'll see. We'll see. I think they hybridize easier with Iranjayas. And
you can go the long route if you hybridize it with Iranjaya and then cross it into Northern.
I don't have any Iranjayas.
Yeah. I do. I'll send you one.
No, I don't want that. No more. No more, man. I'm trying to cut down. That's why she's here. So I'm trying to cut down, man. I did a count. I think it was like over 130 adults.
Jesus.
Adults.
Yeah.
Not holdbacks. Yeah. Not like just breeding size adults.
Fuck, man.
And then I sold like over the past year like 30. And then I bought like 30 more.
Yeah.
So it's like I keep like.
Stop doing that.
There was a good deal, man.
There's always good deals right now, bro. The market is caquita.
I know. They were nice. It was funny because the plan was like, all right, like I'll sell these and. Half of them I'm like, I really like these are really nice. It came from a good friend. He's the one that sent me the hypo calicos too from Canada. So
okay, well, if you have any extra males, Colton is looking for a male.
We already talked.
Yeah.
I got a lot. I told him, I was like, what do you want, man? Big, small, high-end, classic. I got everything right now.
Yeah, and so. He also did an outdoor enclosure.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he sent me a couple texts the other day and he was like asking advice about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's coming along, you know?
Yeah.
Yo. So he might have him outside before you. Hurry up, dog.
I know, man. I gotta, bro. You said you were gonna build five. I was like, I'm gonna triple that,
bro. I looked at mine after you sent the photo, and I was like, this is not enough. I need more space now,
dude. It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
And even like that, and I'm like, I built, so it's like 48 feet in length of cages, and it's like, where am I gonna fit more? Like, the room goes up so quick, and we have all these outdoor enclosures now. Like, we keep building.
Yeah. But now I'm having conversations of, should I keep it safe as far as, like, decisions that I'm making in, like, this reptile shit? Should I keep it safe and extend the stuff that I'm doing with the blue tongues? Or do I diversify? Because I have certain space that I kept that I haven't touched because I want to build cages for iguanas. And I'm like, you know.
What kind of iguanas?
The fucking banana pectinatus.
Those are dope.
Yeah, they're great. Or, so it's like, now it's like, am I going to do that or am I going to do the blue tongues? And then I'm also having the same thing with carpet pythons. Am I going to extend the carpet pythons or am I going to do the blue tongues there?
Yeah.
You know, so it's hard because the next investment that I do with carpets are going to be diamonds, pure diamonds, and that's fucking expensive.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. You know, I really want the hypo brittles.
Yeah.
They're so sweet. They've become my favorite.
Yeah.
But we've been actually through that same process as you're doing.
Yeah.
We used to breed a lot of fat tails. Uh-huh. Completely got out of that project. Yeah. We used to try to breed abronias. Completely got out of that.
Uh-huh.
It's like, you have limited space. So you got to be like, you know, like, I like to stick with what I really like to work with, the blue tongues. You know, I actually wanted to get into red tails. Like, I have a pair that I'm keeping that I'm going to breed in the down line, but I wanted to breed more. But then I was like, I'd rather use that space for something else.
Yeah.
So I was like, so I'm selling a lot of the adults we had, the bigger stuff we had.
Yeah.
I was like, one high-end pair, I'm good.
Yeah.
But the carpets, I want to get more into them, man. Mm. I bought the whole book that's like 3,000 pages, you know, the one by Nick Mutton and what was the other guy, Justin
some shit.
So
I'm gonna have to borrow that.
I met him at Tinley, and I bought the book from him, and he signed it.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's really sweet, the book. So
have you put any of the carpets outside yet?
No, that's next. That's next. Yeah. Because, so where I'm going to put them, I'm not going to put them in their forever cage yet because I'm tired of building cages right now. Like, I'm tired. I've spent a ton of money. Yeah. I get treated wood, and that is very expensive. Yeah. So, just because it's going to last a lot longer. Mm-hmm. So that's why I did that.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm exhausted. Like, I need to take a break. But so when I move the skinks out of those tegu enclosures, I'm going to rewire that and then put the carpets in there.
Okay. For now. Did you didn't get to go to Ron's house the last time that Tiki went, right?
No, I got sick right before.
That's right. Okay.
But I've been there.
Yeah, but so you see, but the way that he has the cages now with the instead of wood, he's using
the tubs, the plastic tubs?
No. He's using
It's the like the aqua tubs.
No. The caging itself, it's like not for the babies. He has like kind of like Reptibreeze material. Like it's like metal. He's making like the structure out of metal now. And that's something that I've considered. It's like
it's like aluminum.
It's like aluminum, the same shit that they use to make like the screened in porches and houses.
I just don't know how to work with that. I thought about that. Yeah. I just have no idea how to work with that material.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and that's the thing. Like I want to figure that out.
Yeah.
Because that's probably gonna be cheaper than fucking wood. You know, you just use a lot more.
Maybe I don't know. I don't even know the prices on aluminum and stuff.
It lasts longer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been at my house now. It's coming on to 3 years, and my rhino iguana enclosure is already fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was fucking pressure treated wood.
Are you using pressure treated wood?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it lifted off the ground or?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
It's already like it's starting to age already. And
really?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
We have some that are about that age that look great, the cages, but we make sure to lift it off the ground. Even a little bit, man, makes a big difference.
Yeah,
the bottom is where it rots a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Because all the water just collects there.
Yeah.
I know the ones, we bought some cages when some people got out of breeding the spiny tails because they were getting out of Florida. They made the bottom solid.
Okay.
That's going bad.
Yeah,
because it's solid. It's just collecting all that water. That's why for those, I like screen bottom.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
No, I agree with the screen bottom.
Yeah.
I double the screen. I do screen inside and outside on the enclosures.
I think you're going too much.
No, bro.
What kind of screen do you use?
The regular screen. The fucking.
No, that's
poly fucking.
Yes, it's more expensive, but you only have to do one. That's what we only. It's expensive, but that's all we
but
use.
But this is
now.
The thing, bro. A pregnant fucking rhino iguana will break through that fucking enclosure. If she really wants it. Dude.
You'd be surprised. We have rhino iguanas and Lucy's.
The iguana that I have right now was an escaped pet.
Bro,
she got
I'm
out
telling
pregnant.
You, you'll be fine.
Oh, my God.
Our rhino male's a jerk, and he climbs it. Like, he, like, tries to get it. They're not getting out of that.
Okay.
Not rhino. Maybe monitors. Big monitors, but not the...
Okay.
They won't, bro. I'll send you the link where we get ours. It's expensive, but that place is cheaper than most, and there's free shipping after a certain price.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's, like, after $100 free, but, like, all their wire is, like, $100. Yeah. So it's, like... Yeah.
So
it's like free shipping.
You have 100 blue tongues.
I have more.
Well,
yeah.
100?
And I keep looking, and I'm like, I want to keep this one back. I want to keep that one back.
Dude. But, okay,
like
what are you going to do? Okay, let's say 50 females go. What are you going to do? What if the outdoor enclosures is the answer?
Right? I'm scared of that. No, I would just wholesale them.
Yeah? Are we allowed to send them overseas yet? We're not allowed to send that
shit.
Not
yet.
No? Okay.
Then there's an ongoing lawsuit with that. Uh-huh. But, man, as soon as that opens up, we're good.
Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, there's still a big demand for them, but mainly, like, pet ones.
Yeah.
So, like, whatever, man. Like.
Yeah. I mean, I'm confident that the color variations are going to go back up in price.
Yeah.
Right now, they're a little bit low. But I've been looking at the blue tongue similar in the way that I've been looking at my ball pythons, where I'm starting to consider what I should breed next year. Should I breed everything, or should I be a little more conservative with that kind of stuff?
I mean, I'm the type that wants to breed everything.
That's the thing. I want to breed everything, but I'm like, fuck,
especially because with them already, like, even if you breed everything, only about half are going to give babies anyways.
Yeah.
You know? I was talking to Ron. He has about the 50-60%, which is kind of what we all have.
But look, if you keep them in groups, at least you'll get, with that math, you'll get at least one litter per enclosure.
That's the hope, but that's not how it works out with skinks, man.
That's how you said 50%. That's what I'm going
with. I know. It's crazy. Like, we've talked about it. Like, these are one animal. Even if you have a ton, they're hard to mass. You can't really mass produce them.
Mm-hmm.
Just they're not the best for this. I don't know why. Yeah, yeah. Like some, like I've had males like breed several females, and like only a couple of them give birth, and it was like the later ones, not even the earlier. Yeah. It's weird. It's weird how it works out. It's weird how some of them give birth, some of them are slugs, like some of them don't even nothing. And I'm like, I don't understand like how.
Yeah, I had two Turner Whites that I got from this Tampa like 3 years ago or some shit. And
from Ray?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The last time that he did this, the show was pretty much, yeah. And I'm still getting, I still get slugs from them.
You still get what?
Slugs from them. I haven't gotten live birth from them at all.
Do you know my Miami Snow?
Uh-huh.
So he's a Turner White. He came from Ray also.
Yeah.
The first time, I think it was the first time or the second time I did this show.
Yeah.
I saw it on the table. It was a baby.
Yeah.
It was, you know, a little, like, you know, he was a baby. And, you know, Turner Whites, they kind of look normal.
Mm-hmm.
$1,500.
Jesus.
And he was selling last year's adult, like last year's baby's pairs for less. So I was like, I'm going to get a pair of Turner Whites.
Yeah, you know?
And then I saw that baby and I was like, I don't know what it is. Something's telling me I got to get this animal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I got the animal. I remember I brought it to, I showed David. He's like, bro, how much did you pay for this? Like, this is like a normal.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
and then now it's amazing.
And now it's amazing.
Yeah.
He's actually with Dave Levinson.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
He has a really high white female, so we're trying to breed it. But because I haven't had luck breeding him. He's been a. For 2-3 years, I thought it was a female.
Yeah.
And like, males try to breed it. Like, he would wag his tail. Males would try actively. Like, they were confused. You could tell. Like, they're just like, are you like.
Same,
but then they try to breed it.
Yeah.
Which is wild. And then eventually one year, like, he was freaking out because I was trying to pair him up with White Walker.
Yeah.
And I just saw he poops everywhere and see hemipenes come out. I'm like, oh.
Wow.
So then I tried for 2 years to breed him with females. The first year, I was this close. He just, you know how it is when the first time they're breeding, they don't know what they're doing. They're really struggling. Same thing would happen to him. Like, he was just taking a long time. And then after a while, they just pop out their hemipenes. You're like, come on, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, that, you know.
Yeah.
Premature, and then after that, like, he got bit once. He's been a dick.
Yeah,
he got. Dude. So I want to actually, if it doesn't work out this year, breeding again, because apparently he's just beating up females like bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna throw him in an outdoor pit.
Okay. Yeah, so. I think I'm gonna do something similar with if the Turner Whites don't go for me this year, they're gonna go outside. I've noticed that I put a couple aggressive males outside in those groups. And they're getting along.
Dude. I really wanted to ask you that, because I have some males that are nasty.
Yeah. I have, dude, yeah. It scares me with them.
Yeah.
I don't know if because they are, I don't know if, like, now that they're outdoors, they have other things to worry about other than being in a bin, you know, and maybe that's what was kind of getting them aggressive, where it's just like they have the one thing to be aggressive towards,
right.
But now they have environment. But, dude, I've, fingers crossed, God willing, I've had good luck so far.
Yeah, that's one thing I was really stressing about, because I have, like, you know, I have too many. I can't handle them.
The Reeves are 60. Sorry.
So you can't handle them. And so I was like, these guys might try to kill some females. But, but you told me it's been going good. So I'm really, I'm excited, man. I'm excited to throw them out. Do you have anything? Do you have any Swedish stuff in your collection?
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, from me, right?
Yeah, of course.
I was going to say, have you bred them?
I have gotten one litter from them.
I'm going to tell you, that's my favorite thing to breed.
Yeah. You know, you produce really nice stuff.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, you do. The two fucking Swedish that I've gotten from you. One of them stayed like really like strong with like the Swedish coloration. The other one like is really interesting. It lost like all of its color, but like in a really cool way.
So I've noticed very few do that. I don't know why. Out of every litter, there'll be like one, maybe two that fade, and they're super colorful, and then they just fade. It's really weird. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
To be honest, I haven't kept any of those. Mm-hmm. I just kind of like.
Yeah.
I just noticed that people like send me photos.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I remember when I got it from you, because it's when we were doing the swap for like some
for
of
the
Fuego
stuff.
Yeah. And it was the one that had like the most like black. And I was like, okay, maybe this is going to like give contrast as it ages. And then it started like losing color. And I'm like, damn, this is kind of cool. There was a ball python that we had at the shop that did that. It was like a pastel something or other. And then after a couple sheds, color was gone. No more yellow.
And really?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
wild.
Yeah.
The hypo, bro.
I got
welcome.
It, guys.
Dude, you
I sell them for 20 grand.
So you only have two Swedish stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, I'll hook you. I'll get you some more, because you need that dog. It's
no, I know, I know.
No, no, like I'll like. Yeah. You know, you need that stuff, dude. It yeah. breeds the best. Like the what I do with the reds, mm-hmm. what I do with the sunrise, what I do with the I'm gonna do with the whites. Try mm-hmm. it out. It just the way it holds color and the deeper color has been my favorite.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it retains it. Like the sunrises are great. I love them. Doesn't keep the color the same as the Swedish, dude. Mm. And I have Swedish as old as some of my sunrises that are fading, yeah. and they're brilliant.
When
it's
you're
crazy.
Mixing the Swedish with other lines, are those lines also keeping that coloration?
It's so I've noticed so, it's, some come out more sunrisey, some come out more Swedish. I'll show uh-huh. you. I have some over there that uh-huh. are mixed. But like a lot, like they still even though, like especially with the reds. With the yeah, reds, yeah. it does really well. Mm. It's like a deeper red because you know reds are great, but they do fade a lot.
Yes.
Like pretty quickly yeah. too. When I mix it, it keeps its color better.
So maybe like that Swedish line, just whatever they did with it, it's just gonna help our blue. Kind of like what Desert Ghost does to ball pythons. Like as it maybe. Ages, they don't lose, they don't fade.
Yeah, and I think it's almost like that deeper color yeah. just holds better. Because it's a different yellow, like yeah. it's deeper. It's not bright. It's yeah. it's. I wish I had two animals yeah. here to show you like the difference.
I'd be excited to see what they look like when they're outside. Because my blue tongue is completely
oh,
changed.
Yeah.
It's fucking sick. Dude.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's like I think last time you came over, I was yeah. like, bro, you got to take these outside.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's just it, and I hate it because you can never capture no. their true color in yeah. cameras, photos. Yep. It
and
really
then, like, they, like,
off.
Brighten up outside in, like, 5 minutes. 5 minutes, they're, like, a completely different coloration
I
than they
know.
Were inside.
That UV, man.
Yeah. It's crazy what it does.
I know, right? Who would have thought?
Yeah. Lizards don't need UV. What are you talking about?
Basking lizards definitely don't. Oh,
all right.
Man.
So we'll cut this here, and then I'm going to go play with your kinky skinkies.
Okay.
All right, cool. buddy. Thank you. There's nothing better than the smell of coffee in the morning, okay? There's also nothing better than the smell of reptiles in the morning. Psych. Reptiles with coffee. That's the smell you want. The strongest coffee, all right? We have it for you. Head on over to the description or go to coldbloodedcaffeine.com and use the code reptileswith to get your reptiles with coffee today. If you want to support us, head on over to modernreptileshop.com or in the description where you can find our merch. And the best part is that a percent of the proceeds from the merch gets donated to conservation. One more time, that's modernreptileshop.com or head on over to the description.
So I'm here with Jake from Reptilectrics Exotics. Mm-hmm. What are you working with, man?
Well, right now, mainly leopard geckos. I also do crested geckos as
yep.
well.
Yep, day geckos too. I've been to your place yes. a couple times. Mm-hmm. You're the first person that I've been with that I was like, wow, I can hold a day gecko.
Yeah.
It's in my hands. It's eating out of my hands.
Yeah, and the whole reason, like, I even got to that point mm-hmm. was because at my first reptile show, mm. I was just looking around, and there is a guy selling just mainly day geckos, and okay. I was new to the hobby.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He placed the day gecko, full-grown day gecko, in my hands, and it didn't
there
even
you go.
Move.
Yep.
And later on, I found out that most people say that, hey, you're not supposed to handle them.
They can't
them.
Be handled.
Can't
yeah.
be handled.
They drop their
they
skin,
can't.
Their tails. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, they're fast.
And, like, for me, it just, like, I couldn't put two and two together because mm-hmm. I was like, I held this animal and it was completely fine. And
yeah.
maybe that's not with every animal.
Yeah.
But it's definitely possible if you handle it properly. You,
yeah.
You read the cues.
I agree. I think for the yeah. most part, if you know the animal that you're working with and you build that relationship, almost anything can be handled. You can really get
exactly.
a grab on anything.
And not to say that you should, but
right.
But some are definitely more handleable than they give them credit for.
Of course, 100%, 100%. Tokes are a good example.
Oh yeah.
I know you have like the one toke, right?
I have. Yeah, I just have a male.
Yeah.
But he's not handleable.
Yeah.
But you know, that is like 90% of tokes.
Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
if I get a baby mm-hmm. and I handle it
yeah.
frequently, like I did when I got my Kiwi the
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got her as a baby and I
the
handled
day-gecko.
Her. Yeah. So the toke I didn't.
Yeah,
so.
Okay. So it's a lot harder, yeah.
Yeah,
for sure, for
definitely, because
sure.
it's already full grown, it's already accustomed to that.
So what did you see at the show that you liked?
Huh?
What was like, what did you see at the show that you're like, oh my gosh, yes, this is so cool. I really want to get into this or whatever.
False water cobras.
The false water cobras? Yeah. They're awesome. They're awesome. A lot of, there's not a lot of appreciation for them, and I think it's because they get big.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't like that they're big, and I guess as babies, they can be bitey. You know, they got a big appetite, and with them being rear fang slightly venomous, of course. People are like, I'm scared, I don't really want to do them.
And the name Cobra, they're like, oh my God, that's
gonna... It's a Cobra? No way.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, people. But hey, it's cool. It's whatever.
Definitely a very unique snake that you don't see often. Have you seen the lavender ones? The lavender...
Falses.
There's lavender falses? I did not know that.
They're like a light... I mean, lavender. They're literally like a light purple.
Oh, that's really cool.
They're not my favorite. I don't really like them. I like the normals better, but... They're cool.
Yeah.
They're really, really cool.
I knew there was like lighter versions, but I didn't know anything about hypos. I knew more about them, the darker versions and the lighter versions.
And the like really high yellows and stuff.
Yellows and the dark black pattern on them.
And you saw the Exanthic mangrove, right?
Yes. The first time I've seen
those. I wonder if it's like true Exanthic or they just found it outside and they were like, you know what? This looks pretty Exanthic. We're going to sell it as such. But yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool.
It's cool. Whatever.
There, I saw some sailfin dragons too.
Oh yeah, the hygrosaurus. Yeah. Super cool. Yeah.
There's a full grown there. It is so pretty.
For me, the hygrosaurus are like unattainable. Like I would love a sailfin, but it's like unattainable for me. What the kind of enclosure that I would want to do for one. I know you can keep them a lot more simple. You can keep them like basically like a regular iguanas. But I would want to do a lot more for them. Have like running water if I could, and then have it so like the branches hang over so they can just drop down and like really simulate that natural behavior.
Yeah,
it's just I have
something
space.
Like that with Chinese water dragons.
Yeah.
I have something like that, but with Hydrosaurus, you would need a way larger.
It's huge,
and you'd have to be on top of it more because 100%. They are, you know, they're not as I would say they're not as hardy.
Okay, what are you working with the crusties?
Right now,
I was there when you got like your high red lily white.
Yes,
and I was like, fuck, that is such
there.
A nice animal.
Yeah, that was one of my most expensive crested geckos that I've ever bought.
And how
invested
much was it?
In.
That was like a couple years ago.
Originally, it was going for $1,500, and this was like, money. Yeah. Man, I was, and the thing is, it was the second time I saw it at the show. I saw it at the first time. I said, if I see it again, I'm going to buy it.
Yeah, okay.
And I happened to know the person, so they said, you know what? I got a deal, and I got it for $1,200.
Oh, yeah. Sweet, dude.
Mm-hmm. And by far, one of my most impressive geckos. It's actually, it produced a few babies. I have a few little red lily whites.
Are you thinking about doing, like, the cappuccinos or xanthics?
Yes.
Something like that?
Okay. That's definitely on my mind. It's just that the price right now is a little bit too much for me.
Okay.
But right now is probably the perfect time to buy crested geckos because the market, the prices are dropping right now.
You were actually one of the ones that helped to name the cappuccino lily whites, right?
Uh-huh.
What did you end up naming them?
Okay, so I named them Frappuccino. So originally, I was looking at the post. I kept hearing people say there's like a new crested gecko morph. Mm-hmm. And I was like, really? And they would show me this melanistic solid black animal.
Yeah.
And at the time, people were just calling them melanistics. Other people were calling them like translucent.
Okay.
But this was all, these were like the first photos that came out of Korea.
Okay.
From City Reptiles, Korea.
Okay. Hmm.
And basically, he took some of his cappuccino stuff, bred it together, he got that melanistic.
For the super cappuccino.
But then, they started calling the super caps because they didn't know what to call it, whether it was melanistic if it was like a translucent. So the community just decided... Yeah. Super caps is just the easier way to go. And when he crossed his cappuccino stuff to lily white, at the time, some people were saying that it wasn't like, it didn't look too much different, but I saw there was definitely a difference in contrast and color.
Yeah.
And they looked like some of the nicest lily whites I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I saw that as an opportunity with crested geckos to get a morph name because ball pythons, you know, they've got dreamsicles.
They've got all different kinds of combos.
And I feel like crested geckos are getting there.
Okay.
And it would really be cool if we had more morph names like that. You don't really generally see that with crested geckos.
I don't like the morph names just because personally I think it doesn't say much. I've said before that I don't like pastels or fancy names like that. I prefer just tell me what the gene does in the animal. Mm-hmm. Amelanism.
Yes.
Or hypomelanism. Those are real things that actually tell me what's going on.
Yeah.
But with the Frappuccino, I think that's just a perfect name, to be honest.
Yeah.
Lily Cappuccino. Yeah. Frappuccino is a dope one.
Yeah. And it's not if it was a full on melanistic animal, solid black, then I would get if it was called Cappuccino, just that alone.
Yeah.
I could see why that would confuse people. And there's several different morphs like that in that marketing, I believe, got the upper hand.
Okay.
And snows in corn snakes is albino and annuary.
Yeah.
But in leopard geckos, it is just
they do that. That's why I don't like them. I don't like the morph common names. It's just tell me what the heck the thing is. Yeah. Well, Jake, thanks for coming out. Hope you
I didn't sign a release yet or anything for you use this.
So, we just did a podcast talking about the what just happened. Well, I guess it wasn't just happened, but the black throat monitor incident. And you know how our podcast goes.
Yeah.
Buddy.
White throat monitor incident.
Was it a white throat?
It appears that FWC misidentified it.
Oh,
and it actually was a white throat.
I misidentified it. There you go. You see, I'm part of the problem.
Well, I mean, most people.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, they're different subspecies of the same species. Both subspecies of rock monitor, but we had a bunch of monitor experts, including zoo people, look at it, and they're like, no, this is definitely a white-throated monitor.
Yeah, yeah. So pretty much the take was, that the thing that happened, obviously unfortunate for the animal, because it's not the animal's fault. At the end of the day, however it ended up there, the responsibility always falls on the animal's caretaker, which is understandable. But it was, obviously we had our topic of whether or not that should happen and how to avoid it. Coming from your point of view, how do you think that we as a community could avoid that kind of situation? And also what can we do to, to facilitate a way for that animal to find a home or to get back to its home?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because we thought that was addressed at the May FWC Commission meeting.
Yep.
At the July Commission meeting, one of the topics was amnesty and also us helping to place animals with homes that needed homes. And FWC called us partners in that.
Yeah.
And even two of the commissioners said, why can't we work with people that we know, people that we work with? So we thought that we had taken significant steps to address things like that. The FWC director made an executive order, or he gave a directive at the meeting in May. I think you were there for halting euthanasia.
Yeah, but was that euthanasia for that kind of circumstance? Was it euthanasia for in general, or was it euthanasia for going into people's, the coffee incident?
There's an argument to be made that that was just intended for captive animals, but from our perspective, there are none of these monitors, white-throated monitors, or even if you thought it was a black-throated monitor, established in Florida. So this is obviously an escape pet.
Yeah.
This is not an invasive species in Florida. Uh-huh. So why is the automatic response to that to kill it rather than be to try to place it with a home?
Yeah.
So I'm an hour away.
Uh-huh.
Elizabeth, our president, is an hour away. We have multiple volunteers in the area. Why weren't we called to place this animal with a home rather than the response going out and killing it?
Do you think that in that instance, for your efforts, would you say that the responsibility falls on the officer that made that call or the organization?
Because it wasn't an officer, to our understanding. So FWC dispatched a volunteer. They called that 188. I've got one number.
So it was a volunteer that went out.
So people call the number, which is listed on the Amnesty website.
Okay.
And that's the same number they dispatch people, apparently, to kill escaped non-native animals also. Uh-huh. So we've already brought up trust issues with the Amnesty program.
Okay.
And this is one more example where that's going to be an issue. So apparently what they did was dispatched a volunteer who went out and caught the animal, and they said humanely euthanized it.
Yeah.
So they were dispatched probably by somebody within the Division of Habitat and Species Conservation, which is not law enforcement. But whether it's a volunteer or staff, I mean, that's not really a concern to us. If they're giving them instructions on what to do, you know, the ultimate outcome is what we're concerned about.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's tragic that it happened with this individual animal, but it just brings up this bigger topic of why are these animals just being treated like any non-native pet is a bomb that's about to go off and nuke Florida's whole environment? Because that's the way Melissa Tucker of FWC portrayed that to the state legislature in her testimony.
And in this like specific incident, do you think that that's the same kind of sentiment?
Yeah. I mean, that it seems like any non-native animal is just something to be wiped out,
enemy,
and that's one
state.
less we have to worry about.
Which, in essence, is not fair on the animal, you know?
No.
Yeah.
No, or any pet keeper. I mean, most people who keep pets, whether it's a dog or a cat or a ball python or a monitor lizard, it's a non-native animal.
Yeah. And I think that that's kind of like what we were... if I can't speak for the other hosts, but I think that that's kind of like what we were getting at. Like, you know, the same way that there is a program for, you know, dogs and cats in the sense that, like, okay, they go to a pound, they get chipped, they get something. Like, we got to have something similar for these exotic animals because they just can't be seen as, like, that is the enemy. We're going to eradicate them because that's, you know, that's a living, breathing, sentient thing, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, it's... We talk about responsibility of pet keepers.
Yeah.
Obviously, somebody was irresponsible with this animal to allow it to escape. It's bad for the animal. It's bad for all of us. It's potentially bad for the environment. But dogs and cats are bad for the environment, too, when they escape. That doesn't mean they dispatch people to automatically kill them. I had a horse wander into my yard the other day. I mean, I thought it was really cool.
Yeah,
I'm like, whoa.
I have a horse.
But my automatic response was not to employ FWC's two-step process of euthanasia to humanely euthanize it, because that was ready to explode the environment or whatever they want to say about any non-native animal.
Man, that's really unfortunate. That was another thing that we spoke about on the podcast was, like, you know, the conversation always ends up the effect of cats, feral cats, people leaving their cats outside, and we put that up as a YouTube short, and the amount of people that are commenting like, no, but cats need fresh air, cats need this, they need they come back home, they know how to get home, and it's just like, yeah, but how many, you know, birds and lizards is your cat killing on the way back home? You know, there's such things as catios. You can have it attached to your house, attached to a window. Your cat can come inside and out, get its fresh air. It doesn't have to be wandering the streets, getting inside of a forest, getting in trouble, and even potentially getting run over, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is, it's just a cultural...
Yeah.
It's a cultural thing that's existed with cats forever and ever and ever.
Yeah,
so, that's... The whole indoor cat movement or whatever is not going to go away.
Yeah.
Or just started recently. The outdoor cat thing's not going to go away. There are animal rights activists that are actually placing cats, feral cats, with owners in some areas to live outside.
What? Okay.
Spayed and neutered. Yeah.
Okay.
There's a program right now in Washington, D.C. for that. So, and they're advocating it as pest control and everything else.
Oh.
So, yeah. I mean, there are even nonprofit organizations that are endorsing that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I found the, when the monitor incident happened, I found it a little, it kind of like put me back a little bit because it looked like you guys were starting to get along. This guy that's like the new head of the FWC kind of thing. And you've been doing videos with him as well.
Let's be very clear. This is not something where we're not getting along with the executive director. In fact, he was very concerned about this issue, and he released a statement to us. We're going to have a video out any day now with his statement. So we actually delayed release of our video just to include his input.
Awesome.
And he asked us to do that, and they're working on a new written executive order.
Okay.
An all-encompassing order on euthanasia, because... And he actually admitted that maybe his directive at the meeting was not clear enough.
Understood.
So he's taken some responsibility, and I can't say anything bad about the guy, honestly. He okay. seems to be working with us in good faith, but it's unfortunate that there's still an... This is not his agency yet. Understood. There are a lot of holdovers the previous leadership that were placed there. Yeah. And some of them just are hostile to reptile keepers, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah.
There have been changes. The acting director, who was the assistant director for years, Thomas Eason, is gone from the agency. Mm. Their lead attorney, the general counsel, Emily Norton, is gone. Mm. We're being told that there are other shakeups happening. So people have made their way to the exits, and the agency is changing.
Yeah.
So it's slowly going to become a different agency, and we're looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that there's some kind of resolve in this situation. I'm glad to hear that there is positivity there. It obviously sucks for the monitor. And I'm glad that you guys are starting to work together. You know, it was looking pretty dark not so long ago.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know... Some of your friends were critical of the way we handled things, but unfortunately, sometimes you have to draw a lot of negative attention to something and make it a media issue and a political issue to elicit change, especially when the people on the other side won't talk to you.
Yeah.
The good thing is that new leadership is talking to us, which means when we have an issue, we can actually go to them first, rather than just putting out a press release or blasting them publicly. We did that because it was our only option at the time.
Yeah, you were trying to make noise so you would be heard.
Yeah, and we were heard.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you so much, brother. Always good talking to you. Thanks so much for tuning in. This episode was brought to you by Repticon Reptile Shows, Premium Crickets, and Reptiles Express. Leave a comment down below and let us know what your favorite part of this episode was. We'll see you next time.